Hodges.
And we have a band called Fire Kid. It's Dylan plays acoustic guitar, flat picking, bluegrass style. And I play an NPC, so it's kind of a mixture of a modern and old-timey sound. And we both sing together.
Yeah, it's in the folk vein, indie folk, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's, nice. it's tough to nail something down to a genre. Yeah.
No doubt. It's getting harder by the day.
Yeah.
When what we do is so influenced by so many different things, but...
I'm sure everybody feels that way about
yeah.
their music,
well, it's hard.
Too.
It's tough to see outside of your own bubble and what you do objectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
like,
kind of hard for me.
Musicians are the worst people in the world talking about what they do.
Yeah.
So what is an NPC?
Oh, it's a sampler and okay. a drum machine.
Is that an acronym?
Doesn't it stand for Music Production Center?
I've never thought about what yeah. NPC stands
okay,
for.
Okay, I love acronyms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know, so I thought I'd ask.
You love acronyms. I see an acronym, and I gotta know.
I gotta know. So...
CIA, FBI...
All those.
NBC...
Yes.
They're just mysteries waiting to be unlocked.
Absolutely. So you just put some sounds in there and then...
Well, tell it...
Yeah, well, yeah how does
like,
that work?
It's kind of a crazy machine because it actually can do everything.
But it's a newer version of, like, the classic...
Yeah, the really old drum machine. So, like, old drum machines have sounds that are already on them, and you can basically perform
like
that.
The Roland 808.
Mm-hmm. And you can perform that machine, and each one has, like, its own sound. And but this one that I have, the NPC Live, I could upload any song that I wanted, any sound, anything. And I could play it like a drum machine. And I feel like I can really just conquer the world because this machine... can do anything and everything.
Yeah, so you can get like a sample off of
a record vinyl.
Yeah, vinyl, like a little drum, like a little kick drum sound or a snare drum sound, and then you can record your own like synthesizer chords into it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And yes,
and then make beats out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about the origins of how y'all landed on that, because it seems, you say a lot of musicians think their stuff's unique, like, I think y'all's sound is definitely unique, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
those are some things that not many people,
oh
my God,
Grandma swing!
Oh no!
How sad!
It's okay, you know, it's like,
Grandma.
No, it's not okay.
I think maybe... It's just a flesh wound.
I'm so sad.
Are you taking... your mom's gonna love that she has to fix
yeah,
this
it,
now.
It's just really it's one so piece sad. Of wood. This was just the screw, and then this part just broke. So, it's just one piece.
Farewell.
Everyone calm down. Let's go sit on the...
Okay, we'll sit on the other furniture.
The other furniture.
Dang, I'm totally bummed that just happened.
You know what, though? It's what happened, so it's better.
It is. It is.
And the car.
The car. Wisteria, more camellias.
Has yeah. the greenhouse been covered?
Dude, it's got fucking destroyed.
Dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind, eh? As we've thought about it, I don't know if it's a good idea or not. It's a romantic idea. I don't know if it's a good idea.
It's a good idea if you make it a building.
Right.
If it's not, because it's so windy here, and our tornado warnings are constant.
We were sitting, did I tell you, do you know what happened?
No.
We had a friend staying over, maybe it was her birthday or something, and
mm-hmm.
it was like a tornado warning. We just got in this greenhouse, we had our sweet peas in there, and I like looked out the back window, because it sounded like the wind was blowing hard, and I looked out the back window, and the entire greenhouse just went up in the air. Like Dorothy, like Wizard
terrible.
Of Oz. And it was just gone.
And I was like, my baby!
Pieces of it were just destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm sure the sweet peas did not like that.
No,
dude, they all like died.
No, one of them survived. I had one bloom.
You had one bloom, but it was devastating because we babied those things. So this year, Heidi just put them in the ground, and they're doing great.
Yeah.
Good.
I was like, y'all try to survive.
Yes.
And they're doing fine.
That's awesome. We've done a lot more direct sale stuff this year, too.
Yeah, it's easy
and
fun.
It's way easier.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We forgot to water the other stuff. I didn't like that very much.
I really hate it. But we get so much rain.
It rains here so often. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, we've changed locations. It's so pleasant back here, too.
New spot.
So, okay. So I think we were talking about, like, how y'all hit on the, like, this sound or this take on y'all's influences or loves or whatever.
The first Fire Kid record was 2015, and that's about the time Heidi joined the band. So she joined after we'd already, like, we'd just put out a record and we were touring. And I say we because it was me and a drummer, and Heidi was playing NPC. And really, Heidi's involvement was in the beginning was just to do the synthesizers and stuff, because we already had a drummer do the more pop production part. But we took a hiatus in 2017, and when we were getting ready to do shows again, we wanted to make it just the two of us, just Heidi and I, and we wanted to find a machine that could make that possible, to like have a full sound but just be Heidi and I, me playing acoustic guitar. And so out of that necessity came, like, just it became what we are, just because we needed it.
Yeah, that's killer. And did that change the sound, you think?
Somewhat. The machine is so versatile, it can sound like anything, so we were able to maintain perform the old Fire Kid stuff off the first record seamlessly, but it just gave us an opportunity just to really, it was just about being able to travel with just Heidi and I. Being able to just have the band be a duo.
Cool. So, besides performing, like, are you doing any other things? Like, do you do anything for, like, other people, or, like, writing stuff, or is it mostly just centered around y'all's own music?
I feel like we do probably half and half lately. Mm-hmm. We did a production deal with PBS for this show called Reconnecting Roots. It's about, how would you describe the show? It's a neat show.
Yeah, it's about America and just like the American spirit and technology and how it's progressed from the beginning of the country to now.
It's like a history type show. Mm-hmm. But it's like modern applications of stuff that's been around for a long time, like how we got where we are. And so
so are y'all like interpreting this stuff, or like playing some of the old things, and like are y'all
I just learned this word, interpolations. It's an interpolation. So it's we're injecting modern elements into these traditional songs. So we're covering like this, not This Land Is Your Land. Well, we did do a cover of This Land Is Your Land, but like This Little Light of Mine, or Play a Simple Melody, Red
Home
Wing,
on the Range.
Home on the Range, Danny Boy, songs that old songs that people know, but we're doing modern versions of them.
So, interpolation.
Interpolation. Yeah.
So that's what is that a conjunction of, like an interpretation of?
No, I think it's actually I don't think it has to do with an interpretation. I think it's just injecting something new into
something traditional.
Something traditional.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
It is fun. It's been a release for us because it was. They came along and asked us to do it.
It's kind of right up y'all's alley.
It's right up our alley. So it was impossible to say no when it's like exactly what we're doing anyway. They actually used some of the songs
or we feel like we'd already done some legwork for it. We had a song, like a redone version of Red Wing, that we ended up using in the show, and Buffalo Gals, you know, we'd already had a version of it, so they just put it in the show. But it became more collaborative at a certain point. And then, in addition to doing some stuff for PBS, we've produced a record for our friend Mandy McCauley. So we've been working on that. We can only really take one like production gig for an artist at a time, but we've been working with her for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. So what's your role in that?
We produce.
We've written a lot with her.
We wrote all the songs, and then we produced them as well. We went in studio 6 months ago.
Yeah, and then one album with her turned into 2 albums with her.
Okay. Yeah. I just always need clarity. When people say they produce things, I was like, I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, it's a varied process, and it can be different depending on the producer.
Okay.
So some people come in with all of the songs written, and they get a producer just to like make them sound good. But sometimes, and from my experience, it's been more collaborative. Whether I'm producing or being produced, kind of write with the producer a little bit and get things going that way.
Yeah, cool.
It's more collaborative.
So you have your hands in lots of pots, or?
You know, for better or worse, yeah. I just feel like it's one of those things that just kind of happened because we were following our passions anyway, and it just kind of intersected other people's.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so I want to talk about... Hold on. I want to go get that Mexican Coke.
Go get that Mexican Coke.
I couldn't grab everything at the same time.
Go get it.
I see it, too.
I've been drinking about it.
I can't believe the swing exploded.
I know. It's so sad. Oh, I think your mom's here. Oh my word.
It's fine. Okay. It looked, you know.
I was trying to fix it. Oh, good. I'm glad that guy's.
Your mom.
Nice. That happens.
I don't think she had seen it yet. She acted surprised. I don't know.
Okay, so. Y'all seem like the kind of folks who can kind of work or do your thing from anywhere. Like, and Dylan, I know you're from here, but like, why are, you were gone for a while and then you came back. Mm-hmm. Like, why are y'all back? And how'd y'all end up back here?
Well, I moved to Nashville, I don't even know now. And I lived there for like 5 years after growing up here. It was like, what, from one music city to another. And then I met Heidi, and we moved in together. She lived in Nashville at the time, but we moved in together in Columbia, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like kind of like, I already felt when we were living in Columbia, we're just inching back home. We're just slowly making our way back.
Which, Columbia is my hometown.
Cool.
That's where my family lives.
Love Columbia.
Mm-hmm. And we were looking at houses because Heidi's sister was moving to Florence. And she was so good at like house hunting with her sister that she found a house for us. Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right, mm-hmm. You just liked it.
Yeah,
it was.
I did.
It was.
I do.
Affordable, you know.
Yeah, and when living in Nashville, I moved there in 2005 as a young adult, and by the time 2015, 2016 came around, like, I couldn't afford to live there and still be doing what I do, which is making music. So I had to figure out somewhere to live. And when we lived in Columbia, it was nice, but that's not where I wanted to stay full time. And so we came to visit his parents a few times, and I was like, oh, my sister would love it. And as I was talking to her about it, I was just like, well, this is cute and fun, and I could afford to live. Once I realized how cheap it was to rent here, I was like, well, let's see how much it costs to buy.
No doubt.
So I'm the very proud owner of this house and this 3.5 acres.
Beautiful. So glad y'all are here. What's it like? I kind of want to, like, get y'all's take on what it's like being musicians in this town, you know, to have the recording legacy and all that stuff. like what is any of that stuff relevant for y'all, or is are there other resources that are useful for a small town being musicians and living here or whatever, or just, you know, like your thoughts on working?
It's inspiring being here, certainly, and I feel like the past and in the history, the past is always present here when we're working, and we definitely have some influence, just of the like musical influence of the traditional like soul music in the stuff that we record, but for the most part we just bunker down here and forget that it all exists. You know, we're definitely friends with
we collaborate with
John Paul and with Andy Baxter, but yeah, we mostly just kind of like it here because it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and I think that was a lot of the draw for people recording here in the old days, was just it hasn't lost that, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's still a quiet place to be inspired.
It's got a lot of charm.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like we're kind of out here, just kind of on our own. And there's some kind of magic to that. When we lived in Nashville, there was always a show. There was always our friends doing something, which was awesome to be so immersed in a creative community.
It's like a thriving, mm-hmm. big, bustly music center.
Mm-hmm. But here it's quiet, and I think we can organize our thoughts a little more. And the stuff that we're making is, I can say, genuinely coming from us and what we're interested in, what we like.
And I'm so much prouder of the music I've made here than the music I was making before I moved back. It's just like the town or the environment here just pulls it out of you in a way that there's just too much noise for us in Nashville.
Mm. Cool. That's awesome. Okay, so I know, Heidi, you're into like plants and flowers. I see that all the time, like mm-hmm. on your Instagram. I always love it. And like, y'all are into this roots music and like the history. Like, is there something about like, do you think like working, being appreciative of like flowers and plants and things like kind of enters into your music somehow?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've written a bunch of songs about it, just garden-centered and flowers, and we can't help but be inspired by it, for sure. But it's also, like, helped us... Well, I should speak for myself. It has helped me definitely have a more fulfilling life, to have something outside of music that I love that can inspire me to make music, because at a certain point, like, music is only going to inspire a certain amount of music from me. And so I needed some other outlet to be creative. And gardening's been that for sure. So it's grounded us in a... I don't intend that pun, but also I do. It's like caused us to kind of like get in touch with, you know, the property we bought. And we know what kind of soil we have and what it lacks and what's going to grow well here.
It lacks a lot.
Yeah.
It's clay.
Yeah. We're working on the soil, you know, hopefully the same way we're working on ourselves, trying to amend and make better.
There was a certain point, a year and a half ago maybe, when Heidi and I were trying to figure out what we wanted to do. Are we going to make music anymore? What does that look like? And at that point, music had been our career, our hobby, our marriage, and it was just too much. I think Heidi looked at me and said, we need to get hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And so she almost seemingly overnight was like really good at gardening. I think you'd already been like tossing the idea around in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a couple of months, we had stuff growing, and we had flower arrangements at our house, and I thought, dang, I need to get something. I need to find something that I'm interested in. So I started reading books, and by the end of last year, I read 40 books last year.
Mm-hmm.
All on philosophy or...
the meaning of meaning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mythology and that sort of thing. And I think it changed me in a good way. It made me a more three-dimensional person.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Philosophy, eh?
Philosophy.
Like who? Like, what are you reading?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
What's on Dylan's book list?
Well, it all came from... I had this realization that everything was centered around music, and I was just bored with myself. You ever feel that?
Yes.
Like, I'm...
Absolutely.
I probably can't curse, but I was a very boring person. And I realized that about myself, so I wanted to have a firmer understanding of everything. I wanted to know myself, I think, to the core, or what it means to be a person, and so I could, like, improve myself or something. And of course, you know, like, if you're looking to improve yourself, you realize that you dig deep enough and you realize that there's nothing to improve. You are who you are, and the best thing that you can do is just try to live authentically, whatever that means for you. Follow your bliss. And so I started with the pre-Socratics, like Thales and Anaximander and the early Greek stuff. But I also read Lao Tzu, like the Tao Te Ching, and Xuanzi, another Chinese mystical philosopher. And then from there went Socrates, and then just down the Western canon. And as I was reading some of these older works, I came across more recent works that were referenced in the footnotes and stuff like that. And so it sort of branched off in 100 different directions. But
so do you think your hobbies bleed into, like, did that start bleeding into, like, the music you were writing and into, like, y'all's relationship? Like, did y'all cross hobbies? Did y'all's hobbies kind of intersect? Or
they do all the time. Every day.
So, there have been many times when they crossed, but...
It seems very complimentary, though.
Mm-hmm. When I got into Epicurus and, like, the Epicurean tradition, it was all based in a garden, you know. That was... The philosopher's school was in a garden. And so... this dude thought up atomism, like the idea that atoms exist. Really, there was a guy that influenced him. But philosophy talks about gardening all the time, and a lot of these examples are their parables. They use gardening, and they are complimentary, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Beautiful. I was not expecting to hear any of that today. That's exciting.
Oh, he'll tell you. I try not to talk about it
because it's...
Well,
it's the kind of stuff that you should never talk about.
Right.
It's for me. I don't know. I don't know what the saying is, but it's like all this stuff that these guys are writing in the books is the kind of stuff that you should just keep to yourself.
Sure. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I like, that really feels, I think, yeah, the bored with yourself thing, like, I very much feel that. Mm-hmm. Like, in the last couple of years, I've felt like, what the hell's going on? Like, what's wrong with me? You know, like, just, I don't know. And I think that's exactly what it is. Like,
hobbies.
I'm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the playback loop is, like, it's all the same shit that I'm seeing and hearing, and, like, I don't know. I'm bored with it all.
Yeah, and I think life for me became much more fulfilling and interesting. And when when you're in a relationship with someone and they also have hobbies, everything becomes so interesting because I'm invested in Heidi, we're invested in each other's music. But once you get invested into what they're invested in, your life is like goes even beyond three-dimensional because now my hobbies are her hobbies. So I'm super into gardening. Mm-hmm. She's gotten super into philosophy and we make music together. It makes us have a much more rich, multi-dimensional life.
We have a lot more to talk about, I would say.
Yes. We're not just like, did you see so-and-so put out a record? New music Friday.
Did you see this? Which we do that as well.
You know, what key is that song in?
Yeah.
Can you bring me the capo? You know, which is fun. We still do that for sure. We still are in a band together, but we don't ever have to talk about music because we have other things to talk about. Beautiful. It's the not having to talk about it that I like.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
It was all Heidi's revelation, so I can't take any credit for it at all. But it was a powerful revelation, and it's made us have a happier life.
It has.
Awesome. I don't think I got much else.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah. I think y'all have... It's been so rich. I don't need to go too much further down.
It's the camellias, man. They're actually, they're not blooming at all.
No,
they were.
They're adding
next year. They're gonna be amazing next year.
That's something that I say. It's like an ongoing joke in our house. In 3 years, this is gonna look amazing.
Yeah, everything. That's such a gardener thing to say.
Yeah, and we should say that about our music too, because everything takes so long. You know,
oh,
so like
my
every
gosh.
Song that we write, we should just be like, in 3 years, this is gonna sound amazing.
Yeah, so. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, Heidi and I were in the same predicament we were in a year and a half ago, where we're still trying to figure out what we are, who we are, what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Heidi said, we should set a goal. And she was like, we should set a goal and just like make it happen. I was like, that's not how things work. But let's try.
I was like, magic
let's
is
try.
Real, babe. Let's see.
And so she said, why don't we just pick a producer and just like a dream producer, whoever you could think of, like the biggest name, and let's just get that producer. And so I was like, I like this is insane. And so she was like, let's get Jay Joyce to produce our record. And so we're like, that's an impossible goal, let's make it happen. And it took us until we signed our publishing deal February of this year. That was a 4-year process. Mm-hmm. And the publishing deal was so that we can work with this
producer.
Oh my God.
It happened, but it took a long time.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about all of it is not just that we set this unattainable goal and made it happen and that it took so long, that it means so much more than when it happens. That's great. But here we are again. Everything's on lockdown.
Yeah. We can't even
so
make a record.
We were supposed
right
to make a record last month, but we can't even make a record. It's still going to take longer.
But you know what? Our garden's going to look
exactly.
So, good.
So we have hobbies.
No worries then.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it. So what's the plan for the record?
We're making it with Jay Joyce.
Yeah, we're making it with Jay Joyce.
I don't know him, so tell me about him. Like, where you think it'll happen, and kind of what it's going to be about, maybe.
Well, a little backstory on Jay. He's a great guitarist. He was in Crowded House.
Okay.
So, don't dream it's over. He's in a lot of bands, too. He produced so many records that we love. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, you could name.
Well,
some.
When I was younger.
I like this story.
We loved Patty Griffin. My whole family loved Patty Griffin, still do. And she put out a record called Flaming Red that we adored. My family wore it out. Like, as a family, we wore out albums. And so that was one of them. Jay produced that, which is, like, amazing to me, full circle, that I get to work with him now. But he produced Cage the Elephant, Eric Church, Little Big Town, Miranda Lambert's new record.
He produced Declan McKenna's new record. Mm-hmm. that's about
he
to come
does
out.
A lot of alt rock and popular country music, not bro country, but like but like Little Big Town and Eric Church, so which are like on the edge of country, and we're kind of on the edge of country, and we've been kind of living in the alt war rock world with Magic Mountain. So he's in my mind just perfect for us because he's also a guitar player, so he like gets what Dylan does.
He's a great guitar player,
and he loves how Dylan plays, and he doesn't want to change what Dylan does. He just wants to kind of make that its own star, which it should be.
We don't know. We don't exactly know what he has in mind, but like, he's been referencing a lot of really great stuff that we like. We feel personally that we are going down this like Fire Kit is Americana Radiohead sort of thing. That's what we feel like.
But I would never say that out loud. So
I just said it.
I just said it.
It's recorded.
It's going to be in print forever.
Yeah. But it's like Kid A era Radiohead.
I love that.
Because of the gear we're using.
I feel like I complain a lot about country music and Americana music just in general. Like, I just complain about it. And I feel like since we're capable of it, why don't we just make that type of music that I want it to be? So if I look at pop country, what do I want Americana to be? I'm going to make that.
We love Americana, but so much of it is like regressive or it's nostalgic. It's not new. It's just like purposefully stuck in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but I don't think it has to be.
It's more about the songwriting with Americana, which is awesome. And country isn't really that anymore. It's more production. So we keep that in mind, and I think we've kind of got a handle on both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you never know, though. Like, I've played some of our new songs, just demos for my friends, and been like, is this country? And they're all like, no, that's not country at all.
Like, I have no idea
what we're doing. But in my head, I'm making what I wish cutting-edge country music sounded like.
Yeah, all you can really do at this point before a record, like before we're in the process of making it, is say, what are you listening to? What are you inspired by going into it? So we're listening to a lot of the Violent Films and Radiohead, Fleetwood Mac, you know.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This is exciting. Now I really want to hear it.
Me too.
But then again, you know, it might come out and we've been listening to nothing but polka for the last 3 months.
Yeah, we might
so
make
like
an acapella record or something. You never know what's going to happen. We're pretty open.
Every song is a bolero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Heidi, I know you've done some stuff as a like solo artist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've put out a few songs.
Yeah, I put out a record as Heidi Feek in, I don't know, 2010? 11? I look at you like you would know. I have no idea. 2010, no, something like that. I put out a record called The Only. And then,
oh, no, I think that was like 2016, maybe.
Was it? Yeah. I don't think so.
No, it wasn't 2016. It would have been 20.
Well, anyway, somebody Google that and put it in there.
The truth is, now that I'm saying, like, I actually have no idea.
It's a note to
the
editor.
I've just lost track of time.
I know. I don't know what today is. I don't know what 2015
Man,
was.
No kidding.
I don't know who 2015? I am. What is country music?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't even remember what the
question was. I think the only thing I remember, I should have like probably gone back and listened to some of this, but
solo music.
But yeah, I remember you put something out just like online randomly, like 2 years ago. And it was awesome.
EP. Thank you. Under my music that we're probably going to work on another project too for that, but that's under Feek, my last name.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, so I put an EP out, and I was trying to make like a whole plan, like get some money together and hire a publicist and try to get some distribution. And then I woke up one Tuesday and I was like, you know what? I'm going to drop a music video. So I did.
Because we already had it done.
Yeah. And so I did, and that made me happy. And then I released the EP just for fun. I realized that when I put all of that press or stress into getting press or getting whatever, it's never what I hoped that it was going to be. So I just dropped it on a Tuesday.
I always joke that once you get like a publicist and you're in an indie situation, whatever they promise you, take the square root of that. It's not even like take half of that.
whatever they promise. It's the square root.
It's not even a mean thing to publicists, because it's actually not their fault or under any control of theirs at all. It's just the way that life works out. And I feel like if everybody knows it's going into it, we're all good. I would never be upset about anything. With the Fire Kids stuff, we'll, you know, use our team the way that we do. But with the Feek stuff, it's just stuff that we do just for fun. I made that EP just because I was sad, so I needed to get it out, and Dylan helped me make a sad EP.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
But it had a lot of the, like, kind of samples and kind of the more, like, electronic kind of component, right?
Yeah. We always have, like, a throwback and modern vibe, and that's how Dylan and I became friends.
Yeah, Heidi's music has, like, a Western slant to it, but also it's got like a crooner, her voice is kind of a crooner voice, so it was a mixture of like electronic and Sinatra-esque, you know, Elvis-y vocals too, but a lot of that music that they were like country crooners, like Elvis is like really has like a iconic,
he put out country music.
Yeah, so how did you get into electronic music? Like, when did that, or when and how and what, like?
Total accident, I mean.
Or either, you know, both, either one of y'all.
I went to L.A. in 2013 to write with some friends, and it ended up being Fire Kid, and I thought at one point, you know, in the beginning, we're just going to make another rootsy Americana record, and then a guy signed on to produce the record who had like pop credit, and he thought it could be a viable, what we were doing had a viable pop lane if we just like incorporated some electronic elements into it. So I didn't want to just stand idly by and just be a bluegrass guitarist, you know, with someone else producing and like recording all the other elements for me. So I just got my hands dirty and learned how to work a computer. I mean, I knew how to work a computer, but learned how to like become a programmer and make drum beats and play a little synthesizer and all that. It was more out of necessity. I was already experimenting with a little bit of like electronic elements. I put out a cover of a Gorillaz song, like Feel Good Inc., you know, in 2012 or 2013 or something like that, with like a banjo and a drum machine. So I was leaning in that direction anyway. It just kind of was a natural evolution.
Awesome. It's a fun take.
Yeah. Electric and acoustic and urban and rural, and you know, they can work together.
Yeah, I think the stew is like always like when there's new ingredients in the stew, like it always seems really fun, and like y'all's ingredients are pretty, like I haven't seen a stew made out of y'all's ingredients, you know, so I think it's,
yeah,
gonna be fun.
We're constantly refining it, but you know, we haven't put out music in a long time because
we had a goal,
and it's easy to put these elements together and it's just a mess. You have to like wrestle things into place when you're working with things that are so different, so there's so much contrast, and it's about finding the right balance for us. So we haven't put out music because we haven't felt like we had the right balance of production, and lately we've been writing stuff that we're really excited about. So
cool, let's end it there.
Good,
that's great. Yeah.